Finding Your Peace with Shelley J. Miller is a show dedicated to helping you move into an experience of love, peace, and joy that lasts. Using the principles from the teachings of Jesus in A Course in Miracles, you will learn how to transform your life by becoming miracle-minded. Heal yourself, your relationships, and your finances by understanding how to break free and awaken. Call in for a mini reading to gain clarity and receive guidance. Now, here's your host, Shelley J. Miller.
Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Shelley J. Miller. Welcome to Finding Your Peace, Episode 12. Today's topic is a very strong title, Claiming Your Life Raft in the Sea of Chaos. And I will tell you where that powerful title came from. It was in one of my readings. The Ascended Masters came to visit this week with a new client, and they spoke to him and to me, and it was powerful. So I wanted to share that with you. I'm a professional psychic. I'm a medium. I read the Akashic Records, which is past life information. And I'm a spiritual life coach, or a transformational life coach. What that means is shifting your belief systems and the patterns of fear to patterns of love, so that your life comes into effortless flow with the universe, with God, and you move towards your spiritual awakening. So Finding Your Peace, though, as a podcast, is always about sharing the teachings of Jesus from A Course in Miracles. If you don't know about The Course in Miracles, stay with us, because it's an incredibly powerful text that was delivered through a scribe from Jesus himself. Mind-to-mind communication. She heard his words. Took her 7 years to write it down, and it's an actual manual designed for us to return to, not enlightenment so much, but to find our inner teacher. It's our mind retraining, so that you let go of your belief systems and fear and ego that are driven by your ego, and embrace your thoughts of love, which is guided by Holy Spirit, which is your God self, that part of you that's never left the source. And in so doing, you remember your own God self, you remember your real self, and you awaken. And that's how you move towards enlightenment. So this course has always been about course or podcast, whatever you want to say, is always bringing you teachings from Jesus. But I like to also throw in my experience, because you know, I see it through my lens, what happens to me from week to week. And on this show, I've shared my own experiences with The Course in Miracles, because it has completely changed my life. If you want to hear about my story, it's in podcast number one, called Where Is My Peace and How Do I Find It? But I've had a kind of an unusual life. As most people would say, I guess, because of the psychic abilities and the mediumship and all of those bells and whistles being intact when I was a baby. I even remembered before I took on the body. I remember that in the last lifetime I came from. So as I see it through that perspective, and share some stories like this week, how things came, answers came, and awakening came through my readings and the people that I worked with the last 2 weeks, it was fantastic. So episode 12, Claiming Your Life Raft in a Sea of Chaos. Strong title. I must tell you, the Ascended Masters, when they come, let me tell you about who the Ascended Masters are. If you've never had much experience with that, or you don't go to readings, then that's perfectly fine, because you don't have to go. Everybody's a psychic. Everybody's a medium. But you have Holy Spirit within you. And as long as you're following your inner GPS, that's perfect. Mine just happens to also come with visions and hearing and knowing and that kind of thing. But everybody knows. That's why when you tune in to your own, to Holy Spirit, your own God self, you can't go wrong. I just have it expressed to me in different ways. The guidance, I mean. But the Ascended Masters are people like you and I, who have walked the earth in an experience of separation and pain and suffering. And separation means that we think that we are the body, we've misidentified with the body, and we think that we could be separate from God and each other. And so we think that there's something out there, when really our thoughts in our mind are projected out onto the screen of life, and then we point to it and think it's real. And that's the illusion. We think there's something out there. You will find as you do the Course Principles or any true teaching of true spirituality, which is non-duality. Non-duality is where you see things the way Christ sees it, Christ's vision, or God sees it, or Holy Spirit sees it, or your God self sees it. That is unconditional love for yourself and your brothers and all fellow men. So when you can get to Christ's vision, that's the goal of your lifetime, because you've healed your mind of your judgment and your fear and your guilt. So the ascended masters are people like you and I, and some on other planets as well. If you're into the galactic thing, I certainly have been. It's just been part of my life. But those people who have walked like we're walking and have awakened, have seen the illusion and wanted peace instead of wanting things out there to try to fulfill them. They have turned inward to understand that what Jesus says is the kingdom of heaven is within you. And when you get to the kingdom of heaven and you really truly love yourself for your real self, not who you think you've been, your historical self, what you have in the world, you let go of that egoic view of success. And when you get to that place, you realize that the peace and the security and the safety and the love you're seeking is within you. And when you feel that love for yourself, it's easy to extend it to other people. You want the best for them. And then you begin to see them and yourself, as Jesus said, as innocent and holy, totally forgiven by God. Indeed, there's nothing to forgive, because nobody ever did anything wrong that we just dreamed it. I know that's a lot to take in, but it's really comforting when you hear it, because you can let go of your guilt and you can let go of thinking that somebody has sinned against you. So these ascended masters have made their way to the experience of pure awareness, one with God, and they have ended for themselves the need to take on or dream another body, you see. So, and that's what will happen for us as well. All sons of God come home. The Son of God is one mind, and as we each heal our particular part, what happens is the universe, the illusion, actually gets erased, and all that's left is the unmanifest, which is pure love. And so that is the goal. Time, space is only in our minds for the purpose of teaching us how to wake up. So that's a little bit about the Course in Miracles, the Ascended Master. So I hope today that claiming your life raft in a sea of chaos helps you to steady your faith and find your way out of fear and anxiety and loss and lack and depression, or even if you're just wanting to confirm that you're on the right path. I hope that you can see when you listen to this that it steadies you, what you're going to hear, no matter what's going on, because the world out there looks pretty dicey, I think, really. Only if you're looking at it in a certain way through the eyes of fear. But when you shift it, like we're going to do today, you will see that there's perfection in everything. So I want to share my own journey. If you followed me, every 2 weeks when I finish this podcast, and this will happen when I finish today almost immediately, I will be shown the next unfolding of what it is I am supposed to learn and or share. And if you want to listen, I follow God. Jesus said he was the greatest follower, not leader, follower of all time, because he learned how to follow Holy Spirit. And he said it was the hardest thing he ever had to do. Because why? Because you have to give up your ego. Your ego wants to lead. But when you give everything over to your God self to lead you, understanding that when you're coming from the superconscious mind, you're getting the right answers. When you're coming from your little mind, you're getting a distorted view of everything. And so he said he was the greatest follower. So I did a podcast, number 5, if you want to look back on it, because there was a lesson in the course that's called Why You Must Give Up the Belief That You Must Plan. And it's very powerful to live your life in the moment following guidance rather than short-circuiting yourself in your journey and adding more time to your stay here by following your own logical mind, what you think. You'll be guided perfectly. So the last 2 weeks, what it seemed to me, what was going on was that I was having to reaffirm my faith. Things had been unfolding really well. But on the other hand, I have to recenter in faith sometimes too, even though I will tell you and share some of my stories. I have had an incredible journey of a faith walk, demonstration after demonstration. But what had happened Well, I'll tell you that in a minute. I'm going to share a little bit of my backstory about my demonstration of faith and why I had to recenter in the last 2 weeks. Some things went down and I started to go into doubt and fear. And so this will serve you too, because don't we all? Until we don't, we all go, you know, we slip off, we fall off the horse. So I wanted to share some stories about what got me back on the horse. Some stories, an affirmation from Rumi, the poet Rumi, the 13th century mystic and scholar. If you know about him, it's very short, but it's very powerful, particularly if you are frustrated about your path unfolding or you're in lack and wondering where your living is and that kind of thing. I'll share the words of Rumi. I'm going to share a little bit about a great metaphysician, Florence Scovel Shinn, that was teaching and writing in the 20s. I believe she died in the 40s, but you can get her book, and I'll talk about that, The Game of Life and How to Play It, and all of her books for free to listen to the audiobooks. I was guided to go there, so I'm going to share some of that. And I'm going to share some lessons in the course about how giving and receiving love are the same. And I'll do the exercise with you. We'll do it really quick because we don't have a lot of time. But stay tuned, because you will actually feel like a magic eraser. Everything that is not of peace and love being erased as you do this quick exercise with me. And if you're driving or something like that, and listening, get to a place where you can sit down and do this for 5 minutes and rewind to this spot and do the exercise. You'll see it's really transportive. It takes you somewhere to the quick understanding of what you give out in love and peace to another comes back to you in equal measure. And it's very profound. There's another message, I rest in God. We'll talk about that. And then I will share from the Ascended Masters what was told to this new client of mine, new friend of mine. And you'll see how it ties it all together, because the Ascended Masters, and they said, we asked them who they were. Well, I knew it was Ascended Masters, and they announced themselves. But you might think of the Ascended Masters as, Jesus obviously is an Ascended Master, Mother Mary, Kuthumi, St. Germain. I mean, there are many that people know of well. But they said, we are many by many names that nobody knows, which means you and I will be Ascended Masters too. And nobody will remember necessarily Shelley J. Miller, but I will be in that state and so will you. So I have some, let's go back here. I'm going to talk about my faith walk, because I think this will help you. You'll recognize in my story that you've had demonstration after demonstration too. And that's what's important is to get your fear out of the way, to understand and stay in faith so that you can see the demonstration when it comes, because I almost missed mine this week. And then a friend pointed it out and I said, oh my goodness. So let me, let's see. Well, so let's go back to the most powerful thing that happened right after the last podcast was that I asked Holy Spirit, because I always talk to Holy Spirit and ask, that's my God self, and ask, I made a very big commitment 2 weeks ago after this show. And I said, I have never wanted to be here. And I'll tell you that story if you haven't heard it in podcast one, it'll just be brief today. I've never, ever wanted to be on the planet. I had my gifts when I was a baby, and I had a guide on each side when I was about 2.5 years old, and I was telepathing them. I could see them in the room, and I looked down and I saw my foot in a baby sleeper, and I freaked out because I realized I really had reincarnated and I was here for another round. And I thought, I'm not going to do this. I cannot take this. I cannot stand to be on planet Earth with all the chaos and the turmoil, and I'm not going to do this. And I started just swinging at God. I was so angry. And I thought, how dare you send me back? How dare you not allow me into heaven? How dare you kick me out of heaven? It took me so many decades to figure out that it was my unhealed mind that perpetuated another dream. I hadn't awakened from the dream yet, because if I had, I wouldn't be in a body, number one, and I wouldn't be dreaming, and I wouldn't be angry, because I would feel the peace of God and I would be one with God. So this was another opportunity to, as Jesus says, choose again, beloved. And my whole life has been about that. But I didn't know that for a really, really long time. So, you know, I didn't want to be here because I couldn't relate to children. I thought, God, what a bunch of monkeys. And I hate to say that, but it's true. That's how I felt. I'd go to school and I'd be patiently waiting to hear what the teacher had to say. And these kids were screaming and yelling like they were a bunch of nitwits. And I thought, what in the world? And I looked out in the world and I could read energy really well, even as a child. And I just saw hypocrisy and greed and chaos and people doing all kinds of crazy things that were not right. And I just was so filled with judgment of it. I couldn't wait to leave. And I, you know, I tried to end my life, not with suicide. I tried to make myself sick so that I would die when I was a baby, almost achieved it, but they healed whatever was ailing me and I had to stay. And I recognized my father in that last lifetime and loved him so much. And my mother was incredible too, but I recognized him when I was a baby and I thought, okay, if he's here, I'm going to be able to do this. I can stand it. But it was years until I got on my spiritual journey till I began to see, which started in the 80s and down through the 90s, that we are the Christ, that we're children of God, and that we're just unconscious. We just don't remember. And so my compassion began to come back to the point where a friend of mine said, you know, you're the cheerleader for humanity. So, that being said, 2 weeks ago, I had fallen into a place of not being a cheerleader for humanity. We had 6 months worth of construction here where I live, and I couldn't move. And Spirit kept telling me, oh, you're going to be able to move in July and October. And it never happened. And I thought, you know, what's going on? Why should I have to put up with this? And the reason was because it helped me let go of my anger and helped me to get through things I didn't think I could tolerate, which was all that noise for 6 months. And just as soon as the construction stopped and the roofing and the landscaping, and I let go of my anger through this, the neighbors moved in, the new neighbors. And I'll have to tell you about that. That was just unbelievable. You know, the whole time I was growing up and all through, well, really, even just a couple of weeks ago until I really, if you've been following me, I've really been working on my anger issues with letting go of, you know, I've questioned authority and I've hated authority and I've marched to my own drum in this life. And I remember that when I was little, the reason I didn't like it, besides seeing the chaos, was that all of this was based on fear. I would lie awake. My sister and I hit the mother load with parents. I mean, we had just the sweetest, kindest, most incredible parents, really. And I had a great childhood, very safe and secure. But I would lie awake at night and I would think, oh my God, what if mom and dad die and we're going to be orphaned? I don't know if you had thoughts like that when you were little or you have thoughts of that now. But we all have these fear thoughts because in the Akashic Records, in your subconscious mind, those fears are stored. And so that's the point of healing with the Course in Miracles and transformational coaching, is to identify those places where we believe scary stories about the world and we let them go. We realize it's just a belief we've held and it's out picturing. And so there's a cure for that, you know. And I would lay and look at the stairwell. My bed was in front of a door that looked out on the staircase in our two-story house. And I would think every night I was seeing somebody come up the stairs to murder all of us. I mean, it was like, where was this coming from? There was no violence in my life. And it was just fear and all kinds of things like that. So when I grew up, I still didn't want to be here, but I thought, I know what I'll do. I had known that I was supposed to work with music since I was 4 years old. And I had a total passion. It was my joy to be a singer. And I thought, I will escape this world by becoming rich and famous. That will do it. I will just find security out there. I will become well known. Everybody will love me. And I'll be safe that way. I'll hold on to my family and I'll hold on to fame and fortune. And of course, that isn't, you know, the way that it went. Yes, I became a professional singer, but did I become well known and wealthy? No, that was God's plan for me. So as I said in podcast one of my story, I was sent away from my family in the 90s when I had an awakening in the 80s, and I began to be what Spirit called the wide receiver, because I could hear from all different levels of the spiritual hierarchy and identify who I was hearing from. Ascended Masters, Galactic, Brotherhood of Light, Angelic Realm, spirit guides and loved ones on the other side, the Devic Kingdom, which is the little people. And I became a full body channel. So they told me, my guidance was that I had to go to Hawaii and for an undisclosed amount of time. And I didn't want to go because I didn't want to leave the safety of my family and my home and all of that. But I, like many of you, have probably known when you're called, you have to answer. It's like it gets more painful if you don't go. So so I went to Hawaii and I was sent there for the better part of 10 years and also to Europe and other things following spirit. And this is where I had to learn how to walk in faith. And I hope when I share this story with you, that it will give you some, you know, give you something to look back on and see where your demonstrations of faith have come from. Because when you look at them and you acknowledge them, then it kind of steadies you up. So let's see. And, you know, maybe it'll jog your memory here. So that all is well, that things always do work out. Sometimes it takes time for us to see it. But when you hear these A Course in Miracles lessons today and hear from the Ascended Masters, you'll know that you can trust that all is well and you can give up worrying. So I was going to tell you about the neighbors that came, that moved in. I had asked, as I said, Holy Spirit, please help me. Oh, I don't think I even told you this. This is the whole point of the story this last 2 weeks. I said to Holy Spirit, I know that Jesus has said it's impossible to see two worlds. You're either seeing a world through the lens of fear or and it looks chaotic and sorrowful and people are struggling, or you're looking through the world of love where you see through the eyes of love, where you see the perfection of everything. And I had so much in the last 6 months of having to let go of my anger and my fatigue. And why do I have to be here with all this craziness going on? And why is the door not swinging open? What am I doing to block the flow? And so I said, I want Holy Spirit, and I really mean this, I want you to help me fall in love with myself and with the world. I want to learn how to see this world the way Holy Spirit sees it, the way Jesus sees it, the way God sees it. That's what I want, because I realize that I can't leave this world, like, which has been my big plan forever, and I can't come to inner peace when I have angst in my heart. It's not possible. And I am going to have to like being here, indeed love being here, love the opportunity until I can find the love within myself that is in the kingdom within me. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is within you. And if you listen to my story on number one, podcast one, I've told you about my divine revelation several times through these podcasts, where I actually experienced a glimpse of the eternal and what it is when you go home. It's temporary, Jesus says, but it changed my life because I realized what the goal was. There's nothing out there that is more, there's nothing more powerful. You know, I mean, it's like a game changer. It's like, well, there we go. Nothing out there is worth anything except your inner peace and the divine love that's within you all the time. So I made that commitment 2 weeks ago. And the minute I did, a bunch of fear came up. And why? And if you're wondering, if you've done this and committed to healing an issue or something, why does your fear immediately come up? It's just to clear. It means that it's going to come up so that you can clear it, because you've asked and you're going to be answered. You're being answered. And so it will come up. And it came up for me in the sense of my monthly expenditures have really, really increased in the last, I would say, year, 6 months, maybe, where I had to hire extra help for my mom and I. I had to visit because of the condition of my physical body right now, having trouble with my knees. I'd had to go for therapy once a week instead of once a month or every 6 weeks. And the money, the bills were just adding up and adding up. And I went into doubt as to how I was going to be able to shoulder the rest of the financial responsibility. I didn't feel good. She was sick and all this construction was going on. And I thought, my God, I've got to get out of here. But then it dawned on me, no, you got to stay until you fall in love. So that's what preceded this. And all this fear came up. So I think I will tell you the story of my faith walk, because I was led to listen to Florence Scovel Shinn, and I want to share her. I'll just go ahead and do this. It's kind of out of order of my notes, but I'll get to my faith walk story, and I think it'll kind of blow your mind. I hope it buoys you up. You know, I hope it strengthens you. So Spirit said to me, and if you don't hear clairaudiently, it doesn't matter. You get nudged to open a book or look something up on the computer, and it'll pop up. And it'll resonate with you. So you know that's all right. So I was led to listen to the audiobook of Florence Scovel Shinn's book that she wrote in the 20s called The Game of Life and How to Play It. And I've listened to it many times. By the way, great listen. And I think you should all listen to it because she has a total command over spiritual law, which is what you need to know, how the universe works. And it works on a set of laws. And so I was, and you can listen to it for free. You don't have to pay for it. It's on LibriVox, which is everything, because it's in public domain. It should be free to you. And you can download the book and her other books too. Your word is your wand, because you have to be careful what you're speaking out because it manifests. So I listened to this and I remembered that the last show that I had shared with all of you that, I start every day with an affirmation. I happen to be using the Course in Miracles, which is you just ask Holy Spirit, where do you want me? Jesus says, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say and to whom? Because then it changes your focus that you're here to give and receive love and heal your mind. You're not here for what you think you are. But I've also used Florence Scovel Shinn's affirmation, and I've been doing it for the last 2 weeks, and it's been miraculous, honestly. It goes like this, and you can use this. I give thanks for this perfect day where miracles shall follow miracles and wonders shall never cease. Now, I did that for the last 2 weeks every single day, and I'm telling you, the wonders never did cease and the miracles. Not that I didn't get down and have fear come up and have a difficult moment, but there was continual, oh my goodness, look at that. And then I would dip down again and then it would come up again. So you kind of have to ride that horse. You know, you have to ride that wave. But it was really powerful. And so I really recommend Florence Scovel Shinn. Besides A Course in Miracles, there's so many ways to heal your mind and to give you that steadiness and to give you a tip now and then. Whatever leads you is whatever you're meant to do, because here I am talking about the course, but Spirit told me to go back to Florence Scovel Shinn. So it reminded me of how I made it through the 90s when they sent me to Hawaii and to Europe and away from my family. And I had been working in the world as a singer, and then that stopped. And I was just following Spirit, and I wasn't charging any money for any services or anything like that. I was simply following in faith. And this, I want to share with you a little bit of what happened, because this is what happened to me in the 90s. I have since, I've had demonstrations just constantly, incredible stuff. But this was a really powerful one. So on my mini trips to Hawaii, I ended up on the island of Maui. Mostly I was on Oahu, but I ended up in Maui for 3 months. I was in the upcountry, and then Spirit guided me and my spiritual mentor, whom I've spoken about before, who had was an incredible woman, very awake, and had traveled the world with a painting that she had painted, divinely guided to paint a living painting of Blessed Mother Mary. And she was guided to travel, talk about a faith walk, even into Soviet Union when it was still communist. And she traveled on faith, and money would come and people would come, and it was incredible. So I was in Hawaii with her, and we had been led to go from upcountry Maui to Hana, which is a very tiny little spot. And it's very, it's away from everything else in Maui. I mean, you've got to drive along the road to Hana. If anybody's ever done that, woo, it's like you need a little, I mean, it's really curvy. It's a long way out there, and there's nothing out there but just a little tiny town and a few people. And we went to Hana, and we were led to a hotel. I had no idea how we would pay that. We were there a month in a 5-star hotel. That's another story unto itself, and I won't take the time to tell that today. I may end up writing some books about the faith stories and the demonstrations, because it's pretty mind-blowing. But then we were led to a condo, And they told me, I heard in my head, go in and go up to the counter and ask for Julie and take a picture of the Blessed Mother. So I thought, okay. So I went in to the, that's really following faith, asked for Julie. So I went in to check in and a lady came out and I said, is Julie here? And she said, oh, I'm Julie. I thought, okay. And I slid the picture of the Blessed Mother under the counter. And she said, oh my goodness, Blessed Mother is my guide. I mean, I love her. And so then I told her what we were doing in Maui, that we were counseling people and traveling on faith. And we had quite a nice conversation about it. She was totally on board with that. But the time I got back up to my room, I checked in and the keys had I didn't know how long we'd be there. I didn't know how we were going to pay for it. But I went up to the room where Velvely was. And right after I got there, there was a knock on the door and there was a lady outside. And she said, Julie sent me. And I said, oh, okay, come in. And she needed counseling. She had a very difficult situation going on. And she spoke to Velvely at length. And as soon as she left, there was another knock on the door. And there, I opened the door and somebody said, Julie sent me. This happened 3 times in the first day we were there. And they all got counseling from both of us. I was channeling a light being that was giving counsel and Velvely was counseling. And we never took any money for it. And this is how our journey began. So this went on for almost a month. And there were times when we would nearly run out of food. We would nearly run out of groceries. People would send us money that was supporting our journey, but we would nearly run out. We'd be down to our last little top ramen, you know, which is the cheapest thing you can eat, and nothing left in the, you know, the cupboards were bare. And there'd be a knock on the door and somebody that we had met and given service to would say, hi, my father and I fished all day for you ladies. And here's some fish for you. And that's what we would have for dinner. And then the next day, something else would come. The bridge, it would always bridge. There would always be a bridge. So one day we were counseling people. Velvely had somebody and I was channeling the light being and helping somebody. And the store, it was almost 6 o'clock and the stores were about to close. And I said, Aya, who was the light being, get out of my body. It's almost 6 o'clock. We have nothing for dinner and the stores are going to close. And she said, we are doing this now, beloved, which means stay present and have faith. And every time I wanted to boot her out, she said, we are doing this now, beloved. And I thought, okay, you know, so. 5 after 6 and she leaves the body and the lady leaves. And I said, well, that figures. Thanks so much. Because now we have nothing for dinner. Again, a knock at the door and who comes in but Julie with a casserole and she starts to leave. And I said, where are you going? And she said, oh, I'm going back for the butter and for the bread and the salad. And I've got dessert too. And from that night on, she and her husband insisted that Velvely and I come and have dinner at their house. They said, we're so in honor with you two being here and we want to be around you if you do us the honor of sharing meals with us at night. Well, good Lord, you know, how incredible. But we had to cover breakfast and lunch, right? And again, we had just about run out of money. And 7:30 in the morning, Spirit wakes me up and says, get in the car, wake up Velvely, get in the car and take only your credit card to fill up your gas tank and get on the road. So we did, you know, why wouldn't you do that at this point? So we got in the car and they took us all around Hana and we met people we had been trying to meet and couldn't meet and we connected. It was just magical and miraculous, really. And then they started driving us down these dirt roads. And if you have any understanding about Hana, once you get off the main road, it is country roads. It is dirt. There is nobody. There are no houses. There are no phones. There are no structures. You are out in the middle of the rainforest, really. I mean, you better hope to hell you're listening because I mean, how do you even get out of there? It's crazy. So we drove along on this back road and Spirit said to me, tell Velvely to pull over right here and get out of the car. So we did, we pulled out, she got out. She was a smoker at that time. And she lit a cigarette. And before she had even taken 2 drags on the cigarette, we saw all this dust coming down the road, which means there's a car coming. And behind us, we hadn't even been there 5 minutes. And behind us pulls up a car with a friend of ours that lived 2 or 3 hours on the other side of Maui with a friend that we hadn't met before. And they got out of the car and ran and put their arms around us and said, we were dispatched this morning to come to Hana to find you. They didn't know where we were. And they said to come to Hana to find you. And this is so-and-so. They introduced, she introduced us, her name was Sandra. She introduced us to the friend that had been writing with her. And she said, do you know that my friend said, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could meet Velva Lee on the road today? And that's exactly what happened. It was incredible. They took us to a little lagoon to cool our feet, to soak in the water. It was so incredibly hot. And they brought us lunch. And remember, we had no food and not enough money to get any. And so we were just sharing what was going on in our faith walk. And when Sandra heard that we had no groceries, she excused herself. And an hour later, she came back with two bags of groceries, and we had everything we needed for our meals for the next 4 or 5 days until more money came. It was just incredible. And my point in telling you this is, listen, if Spirit can orchestrate four people in two cars, two, three hours apart, to go to an unknown location in the back of a country road and bring exactly what you need, can you see that Spirit knows what you need? It reaffirmed my faith when I thought about that story, because it's known, and you ask and you're answered. So I hope that kind of gives you an opportunity to look to see where your demonstrations have been and count them when you do everything. There's a poem that a friend of mine reminded me of, and I think it's beautiful. It's called Footprints in the Sand, because sometimes we think we're not answered, and sometimes we do have to walk through the storm, staying in faith, you know. And so I'm just going to read this. Forgive me, I'm reading off my phone, but I didn't have time to write it down. You all have probably heard this, but it's a wonderful thing. It says, one night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. There was only one set of footprints. I realized that this was at the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, you told me that when I decided to follow you, you would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during most of the troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and teachings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was when I carried you. Margaret Fishback Powers wrote that. Makes me want to cry. It's beautiful. Jesus says in the Course in Miracles, if you're doing anything under your own power, you have every right to fear. Because you have to lean on God, because fear blocks you being able to receive your impulses, your guidance. You see, this is why your life raft in the sea of chaos is staying focused on love and not fear. So, you know, I started with Florence Kovalchin 2 weeks ago when I made that commitment to say, I want to see a world of love. I want to fall in love with myself and with my fellow man in the world. I want to fall in love with all life. And they told me to look up for Kovalchin, and I began with three of her affirmations. My ships, because I was worried about the money because my bills had increased so much. My ships come in over a calm sea. My ships come in over a calm sea. Maybe you can feel that about whatever is bothering you right now. What is mine by divine right is now made manifest under grace and in perfect ways. Not under my own mind and my own power, under the power of grace, okay? When you have something that doesn't go well, instead of beating yourself up about it, you say, I baptize this as a success. I baptize this as a success. If you're worried about money or finding your path, I'm going to paraphrase here about Rumi, but he said something that I've always loved. Something like goes like this. When I run after what I think it is that I want, my life becomes a furnace of stress and anxiety. But when I wait in my own patience, I find that what I want is wanting me. What I am seeking is seeking me. There is a great lesson here for those who can understand it. I paraphrase that, but you understand? Sit in your patience. We are doing this now, beloved, and be present and give and receive love. That's the thing. Now, what I did with these neighbors when they moved in, I noticed there were children. There was a little girl screaming in the parking lot one day. And I cannot abide that kind of noise, especially screaming children. Remember, I never wanted to be here, couldn't relate to the kids. That just took me down my shorts. And I thought, oh my God, I mean, what is wrong with people and what's wrong with their parents? And I'm trying to work. And I even had my windows closed so I could still hear her. So I waited like an hour and 40 minutes and tried to just keep forgiving it and letting it go. And finally I called the office and complained. And I tried to do it in a kinder way, but I can tell you my agitation was up. And she said, okay, we'll go out to the common area and tell them that they have to be quiet in the common area. And a few minutes, maybe an hour passed, and the noise subsided. And then the noise started up again, and it was closer to me. And I finally got, I thought, where is that coming from? And I went outside my apartment. And do you know that that screaming little girl in the parking lot was my new neighbor? She had moved in next door, and she and her father were screaming out of the window. Out of the window. It was so loud. Not only that, every day from then on, they started playing really loud music because the little girl's room was right next to my, the music they were playing was the stereo, whereas right next to my head where I sleep and work. Okay, so here we go. And I'm trying to love the world and everybody in it. And I went, wow. Okay, so here is what I did. Spirit told me to open the course book and go down the chapters, and I would find what I needed. And it, what resonated with me was the lesson, give and receive love. And this is what I did that changed the experience of being angry with those loud people next door and the noise, because remember, I can't move right now and I have to work at home. And so this is the lesson 108 in the course, if you're looking, to give and to receive love is one in truth. So to give and to receive are one in truth, and I will receive what I'm giving now. This is the point he's making, is that what you give out comes back to you in equal measure. And if you just close your eyes and do this exercise, as I briefly talk you through it, you'll find out this is true. To everyone, I offer quietness. To everyone, I offer peace of mind. To everyone, I offer gentleness. If you sit with that, or you rewind this or watch it on replay, you can watch it on my homepage, shellyjmiller.com, or here on BBS Radio 1 on the archives under Finding Your Peace. To everyone, I offer quietness. I kept doing that all week. And do you know what happened? And this was incredible. The minute the stereo would start, I would begin doing this and call on Holy Spirit. And not 5 minutes later, I kid you not, every single time they would turn off the music and leave the house. Now, is that a coincidence? I don't know. You tell me. We'll see over time. But the point was, I didn't start asking and ranting. I just started sending love. And what's happened consequently is that I don't really mind the sound of children playing anymore. And this has been a thing that has really bothered me, is the noise. And I start to think, well, at least they're happy. And, you know, I start to think positive things. So right next to the lesson about to give and receive are one in truth was a lesson called I Rest in God. And what Jesus says about this is that this thought of I rest in God will bring you the rest and quiet and peace and stillness and the safety and happiness that you seek. I rest in God. This is the thought. This thought has power to wake the sleeping truth in you. Okay. And he says, I rest in God completely undismayed. This thought will carry you through storms and strife, past misery and pain, past loss and death, and onward to the certainty of God. There is no suffering it cannot heal. There is no problem it cannot solve, and no appearance but will turn to truth before the eyes of you who rest in God. He says, this is a day of peace. You rest in God while the world is torn by winds of hate. You rest, your rest remains completely undisturbed. Yours is the rest of truth. And so try that. Try resting in God. Try blessing and offering gentleness and kindness, that which you'd like to receive back. You do it because you're wanting to make an effort, not because you think, well, I'm just going to rest in God. No, you have to check it, you know. But use these tools from the Course in Miracles, because really, as you do them, it will change everything. The next thing I heard when the noise started up again is perfect love casts out fear. Now, I realized that was from the Bible, so I looked it up, and it's from John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. So if you understand that, what we fear is that God isn't going to get to us in time. We're going to be punished for something. We're not loved. And so I began doing these readings last week. I had a bunch of them. And every single reading was addressing the issue that I had just sort of healed. And it always works that way. I mean, what happens on the, what you need on the inside shows up on the outside. And I had a really long reading of the Akashic Records on last Saturday. And the guide that came in has come in before, because I've read for this friend, friend of mine many, many times. And this one particular guide, after he gives her the information, he always turns around and helps me, which I really appreciate. And he said to me, worry not, worry not, worry not. Stop doing it. Stop worrying. And I realized that I'd been in the future. Oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for this? It wasn't in the now. I wasn't in the present moment. So I got in the shower. A friend of mine said, oh my God, you just need to get in the present. I mean, get in the present. So I got in the shower. And I just said, I'm going to let go of the past and the future. And the most amazing stillness came over me. It was just peace and safety and security. And the worry was gone. So if you do the work, I promise you, if you put this into practice, it will change. The last reading, and we're getting close to time here. We have about 10 minutes, is the other thing that came up this last 2 week period was the subject of empathy. And I was again led, I just opened a page and I read what Jesus had to say about empathy, because you can, I would ask you, what world are you seeing right now? What world do you see when you look out? Do you see a world that's sad and people are suffering and it's frightening and horrible things are happening? It would be reasonable to think that you might think that you might be seeing that, because I have seen that. But I had a friend call me, and it's like, and remember my question, I want to fall in love with the world. How do I see a perfect world? And then you have this empathy because there's so much suffering. And so I was led to a place in the Course in Miracles where Jesus said that true empathy is not about agreeing to separation. He said, and really take this in, because this is a mind blower. When you agree, oh my God, you're suffering, oh, that's horrible, you do not hold the vision of our perfection. You agree that the suffering is real. That doesn't mean don't be kind and compassionate to people who are experiencing fear thoughts, but it means don't drop down and do them the disservice of making it real. Stay connected and say, you know, and I'll tell you what the Ascended Master said about this. It was incredible. It came up 3 times in a week. So that's something to pay attention to when there's one lesson that comes 3 times, because I have been very hooked into, since I didn't want to stay, you know, this is the place of sadness and suffering. I don't want this. I want to get the hell out of here. Excuse my language. And you know, I had to change my mind. So the last reading was from the Ascended Masters. And when they come in, I always love them, because they speak in a way that it's not from this time period. And what they say is 100,000%. It's pure light. So I jotted down what was really incredible in this reading. I'm just going to read it to you, because this will confirm everything we've talked about staying in faith and how you find your life raft. This is where the title came from. Here's what they said, the Ascended Masters, and what you need to know to claim your life raft in a sea of chaos. They said to this new friend of mine, whom I was reading for the first time, they said to him, and this is not sharing his personal information, but I want to share this in a way that you understand. You have to live with the door open to God. You have to live with the possibility that with God, all things are possible. You absolutely have to, because under your own power, remember, Jesus says, you'll be in fear. You can't do this on your own, and you're not expected to. The Ascended Master said, you have lived a life of possibilities of God's love being there for you. They said, beware not to worry. That's what the guide told me in the reading on Saturday. It said, all things will come in the allotted time. They said, there is great chaos in the hearts of many, and this is not a place where you find yourself willing to dwell. So I'm asking you, where are you willing to dwell? In a world of fear or in a world of peace? Remember to rest in God, right? They said, we are elevated spirits. We have a view of the entirety of this. We are ascended. And it was easy to see that they were, because I've read with the Ascended Masters many times, and I'm always so honored. And then they said about empathy, the same thing that Jesus said, but they said it in this way, and this is beautiful. It is an illusion to think it's a service you provide others to absorb their grief and sadness. We think this is love, but it's not love. They said to offer service to another is to say, listen to this, behold, we have risen. This is honest. Behold, we have risen. Well, like Jesus says, and I did a podcast on this, you are spirit, innocent and holy. As you remember that, you pull everybody else up. They said, beloved, if you were not also in separation, this would not be an effect upon the self. In other words, if you were not separated yourself, you wouldn't see it that way to begin with. The idea that you are not the body, has this occurred to you? Geez, I've talked about that a million times. Don't misidentify that you're the body. Let go of the burdens and the body will rearrange itself to the body that is in the likeness to that which is eternal. Now they're talking about what Jesus talked about and give up your belief that you must plan, that it is guilt and planning and being in the past and the future and your judgment that deregulates the body. They said not believing who you really are, which is pure love, creates disharmony in the body. When you misidentify with all that you have by historical validation, it is not of value to who you really are, which is innocent and holy and pure love. Your vision of what is real and what is not, and knowing that all is well, is the only life raft in the sea of chaos. Your vision of what is real and what is not, and knowing that all is well, is the only life raft in the sea of chaos. Do you see how that works? Mind control, they even spoke to something that's going on right now. Mind control on the TV is no match for the power of God. This is incredible. There is no separation between you and who you pray to. Well, that's true because we are what is. Your faith is strong, but it is the strongest when you listen within yourself, which is why I told you the story of my faith walk. And so Jesus and the Ascended Masters confirm everything here that you need to know to pull yourself up to loving the world. So listen within yourself and stay in faith that God's love is there. Sort out what is real from what is fear, and worry not, for all is well. And my advice to you is to choose what world you want to see and ask Holy Spirit to help you. We only have 3 minutes left. I had been asking Spirit for help. I've been trying to find somebody to do my hair color, which nobody carries anymore. It's something that's very expensive and most people don't carry. And I searched for hours. I was going to go get a haircut and I searched for hours and I couldn't find anybody. I was so frustrated. And I said, Holy Spirit, I can't do this. Will you just please take this over for me? And it flashed the face of my hair cutter that I was just going to. So when I walked in, I told him what I've been doing for hours. I said, my God, I've worked for weeks trying to find somebody. And he goes, oh, we carry that line. And I said, since when? And he said, oh, I bought the whole line just a little while ago and everybody's trained on it. There was my miracle. I've been looking for like 2 months and I walked in, but I didn't see it as a miracle because I had wanted to go someplace else. And I got out to and we do this, what we think we want. And then we get handed a miracle effortlessly and we don't count it. So I got out to the car and a friend of mine had called and she started to tell me all the miracles that were happening effortlessly for her. And I was really glad for her, but I said, you know, I don't think this is really happening for me. And there was a pause. And then I said, oh, except for this has happened and this has happened and this just came. And I told her about the hair colorist and she said, it's a miracle. I mean, that was effortless. And as I began to recount my miracles, she said, okay, I knew that if I gave you time, it would dawn on you. I wasn't seeing it that way because I was still fixated on what I wanted in my trouble rather than saying, thank you. Incredible. Done. Checked off my list. So when I started to recount the miracles, it's when everything started to shift for me. And then I realized that I had been sick for quite a while. and my stomach, and they're trying to figure out what I'm allergic to. And I hadn't been able to eat more than like three or four things for like 8 weeks. And I was really craving this wonderful Mexican food. And I said to her, do you think I should bother? Should I spend the money on this? And she said, oh my goodness, you have to affirm that miracles are happening. You have to love yourself. Thank you, Sandy. And I said, you know, you're absolutely right. So I drove across town to the Mexican restaurant. And I got there and I realized what I had wanted when I was getting gas and talking to her on the phone was this iced coffee that I hadn't been able to drink for months. And, you know, instead of saying, oh, well, I drove myself back to the other side of town, got the iced coffee, ended up at a beautiful harbor where I love to sit, where I had my divine revelation. And I gave myself permission to sit there and to drink my coffee. And as I recounted the miracles, do you know what happened? The question that I had asked, the help that I had asked 2 weeks before for Holy Spirit to fall in love with the world and myself began to happen. As I said at the harbor, I felt the most incredible divine love. And all I could see as everything flashed in front of me was the perfection of everything. I hope that helps you, because you have to make the commitment and ask for Spirit to help you. And I mean, I got what I asked for. I just saw the perfection and everything has begun to change. So let's do it now together. Behold, we have risen. Understand that we are going to join the ascended masters. We are ascending every time we do that. So listen, if you would like to book a reading with me, because sometimes it's very helpful. Look what happened with the ascended masters and the other guides that came through in my reading this week and all the help. Find me on shellyjmiller.com, shellyjmiller.com. My number is 949-237-2960, 949-237-2960. You can watch all the replays of the podcast on my website on the homepage, or you can do it on the archives on BBS Radio Station 1 by looking at Finding Your Peace. I have a YouTube channel, Shelly J. Miller Psychic Medium. And you can please subscribe and also join the newsletter so that you get all the benefit of the things I'm sending out. I don't know what will unfold in the next 2 weeks, but I look forward to it, because remember, we are loved, rest in God, give and receive love. It's the same. Stay in faith, worry not. Behold, we have risen. I love you. You're the light of the world. You can do this. We are loved. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Join us next time, every other Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, for Finding Your Peace with Shelley J. Miller. Be sure to look for the podcasts Finding Your Peace with Shelley J. Miller on iTunes, Google Play, and all of your favorite podcast stations. To contact Shelley, book an appointment, and to find out more about her work, go to shellyjmiller.com.